Our best to Bob Cratchit. Welcome back to Talking Shit, where we are talking about Schitt's Creek each and every week. I'm Jess Sterling, of course, joined with my co-host, Stuart. Stuart, how are you?
I'm doing really good. I'm really loving the fact that we're now getting into the show. We're no longer like dealing with the pilot and all of this kind of like setup. Mm-hmm. We're getting into it, the meat and bones of the show. And yeah, I'm really excited to kind of like delve into it.
Yeah, we're talking season one, episode two, The Drip. Of course, if you haven't already, subscribe, Talking Shit everywhere. That's Talking without a G and Shit spelled like Schitt's Creek on social media at Talking Shit. You can watch us on YouTube, which will be handier later in the podcast because we're going to do our tier ranking, which I have a visual of. I have some other visuals I want to talk through. So if you like watching your podcasts, find us on YouTube. You could do that. Also, if you have any feedback for any episodes you're watching, podcast@talkinshit.com is where you could shoot those emails over to. Yeah, Stuart, this episode was so much fun. I feel like obviously there's so much setup in episode one that this is like the episode to me that really feels like the first real Schitt's Creek episode because we're in Schitt's Creek. We're meeting the members of the town. You know, we have a couple new characters to introduce. So I love this episode.
Yeah, I mean, like, with a second episode, you ordinarily get, like, the pilot where you kind of, like, set everything up. And typically, like, before the whole season's greenlit, obviously, they write and film the pilot, and it's, like, separate. And so you kind of, like, get a couple of amends to things, people try and change their approaches to things. I'm not sure if that was the case in this one, but you certainly felt, like, a difference. You felt like there was a real, like, change in attitude of just, like, kind of how we're going to go about the premise of the show, like kind of what we're going to do in terms of throwing in kind of like these, what I think are going to be like small little plot hooks for like things that are going to be happening in the future, which I'm really kind of loving.
Yeah, and I also feel like I noticed Moira's voice was more Moira-y than it was in episode one as well, which I was just like so thrilled about because it's like obviously a massive thing on the show. It's like how unique the characters are, specifically the way in which they speak. And Moira is probably the most notable of all of the
And it
roses.
Comes out so quickly as well, like literally waking up just with the voice already there. And it's like, I love it. Perfect.
I just cried myself to sleep. It's so good. Let's do a quick recap at the top and then we'll dig into all the characters and all the stuff they got into this episode. So Johnny Rose has had enough of Schitt's Creek when he wakes up to dripping brown water on his face from the motel ceiling. He decides that selling the town is the best road to financial recovery, but hits a roadblock when he learns it will require Mayor Roland's signature. The Roses are forced to dine at Casa Schitt, complete with a stimulating cheese ball, fine dining fondue, and Jocelyn's thousands of tchotchkes. Moira is forced to seal the deal with a Vivian Blake slap, as Roland is a big fan of the soap opera Moira starred on, Sunrise Bay. Elsewhere, Alexis needs a distraction from obsessing over the toe ring laden girls Stavros is now dating, and happily accepts an invite from Stevie to attend a local tailgate party. She ends the night kissing a bearded stranger. Love that journey for her. David reluctantly joins the party as he's eager to escape the Schitt's dinner party. At said party, he does his first beer bong. So love that journey for him.
Clearly an amateur with the beer bong. Like, not his kind of like scene at all. I can imagine that he's not even considered ever doing one of these before, which is kind of nuts.
Yeah, we're less than 5 minutes into the podcast, so naturally I'm going to ask, Stuart, do they have beer bongs in the UK? Is this a thing? Yeah. Like keg stands, like keg parties, is that a thing?
Really isn't. Like, the whole keg party thing is such a US trope. Like, thing is, like, is we start drinking like quite a young age, so it's just normal just to go to the pub, and it's so much easier.
Yeah, like, you're not like doing keg stands around. And yeah, the keg is exactly. A big deal. Yeah,
but I did at uni, so I used to live with a bunch of ultimate frisbee players, and they had what was known as the 3-pint challenge. And so what people rarely realize is that the volume of a ultimate frisbee disc actually can contain 3 pints of liquid. So they would just put in 3 pints within a standard disc, and then you had to drink it with a straw, which was the worst part because of like the beer bong was like making me think of just how like kind of frothy it was getting and why they were really struggling. Imagine that with a tiny little straw as
this
well.
Seems awful. Like, I'm already okay. So I've done beer pong. Which do you all have beer pong?
Oh yeah, we have beer pong.
So anytime I ever played beer pong, we always put water in the cups and would drink our own drinks from the side, because the idea of throwing a ping pong ball and having it hit the ground and then putting it in a cup that I'm going to drink out of is disgusting. Yeah. I can't.
Yeah, there was we actually had a work Christmas party that was in a beer pong bar that was like dedicated to
it. And
yeah, it was probably the most unsanitary thing ever. This is super pre-COVID, and I'm hoping that the place is shut down now, because also a gas leak happened while we were there, and we got absolutely conned out of our drinks that we had all ordered, because we had to evacuate. They were like, you can't come back. We're like, we just ordered cocktails, and they were
we just paid for drinks.
Get out. Yeah, so some firefighter somewhere had a good night.
This is wild. All right, where do you want to start? We have some new characters we could chat about. We have Johnny's trying to sell the town. We could talk about that.
I think new characters for sure, because I think there was a couple of it wasn't many, but I think they were big characters at least.
Yes.
Like Jocelyn, certainly. I think there's going to be a lot there that's going to come out and stuff.
Yeah.
How the hell has Roland got Jocelyn? Like, she's not jumping out as an incredible person, so to say, but she's so much better than him.
Yeah,
she's awful.
The thing is I feel like this is a common, not only a TV trope, right? Specifically in animated shows, right? I'm thinking Family Guy, thinking The Simpsons, where it's always how did this bumbling fool get this woman who is actually a decent human being?
But they have charm. Homer has this dippy charm, and you can see that he is a loving person. Roland thus far has exhibited no sense of love, nor care, nor affection. He just is awful.
But Jocelyn is into it, is the thing. She's very into it, right? She talks about how the cheese ball is an aphrodisiac, and she doesn't have a problem with Roland sticking his entire hand in a fondue pot.
I knew that this would come up, and I've seen a lot of bad stuff recently. In the last couple of years, there's been a lot of bad TV. I watched the first 15 minutes of The Idol. This was the worst thing I have watched in the longest time.
Yeah.
It's not the fact that he's just doing it. His fingers are in there, diving deep.
And he's digging around, and he just expects people to eat out of it after.
And it goes on for so long. It's just oh gosh, yep, he's still going. Yep, yep, yep.
Afterwards,
cutting to him with the cheese on his fingers. oh gosh.
Imagine having a cheese ball as an appetizer and then fondue for dinner. They're going to be so blocked up. I love cheese. Canonically, historically, I love cheese. But that's a lot of cheese for one evening. Yeah.
I wondered if it might push your tolerance of cheese a bit too far. Because I think one of the first things that I came to know you was as the cheese person, because you were ordering a cheese clock, if I recall correctly. And I was this is unhinged, and I like her personality and the humor. But then I was this is just too much cheese.
Yeah, I will say, I've not really ever done a proper fondue sort of situation, because it doesn't seem I don't know. To me, it doesn't seem like an entree that I'm going to dunk a bunch of food in cheese and eat it. It just doesn't feel like an entree to me. It feels like something you'd eat at a party. Going to get a little bit of bread and cheese, and then, there's this pasta dish over here. It doesn't feel like a full entree. And also the idea, what Roland does, it's so gross to me. A communal pot of cheese that people are dunking things in, especially if you have double dippers out there. Absolutely not.
No, double dipping is a war crime, and people that do it should absolutely be held to account for it. It's horrendous. I always get the same vibe from things like chocolate fountains at weddings and stuff, because kids are just running over and sticking their hands into it and stuff.
Ugh, yes, absolutely.
But a fondue, you could easily fill up on it. I get the same vibe. It's you have the fondue and you fill up on bread and cheese and stuff, and then you just get horrendously drunk afterwards.
It's definitely more of a party thing. But I don't know. Jocelyn is very endearing, right? We find out that she's a school teacher. She seems to really like Roland. I think, I'm not sure if she calls him that in this episode, but she does call him Roly, which is I find very endearing. And I love David entering their home and just being like, wow. Mm-hmm.
Taking it all in. And there's a lot to take in. She's got a lot of crap around.
Yeah. Like,
so much stuff. Like, she's, I like tchotchke to keep hoarder. Everything. Yeah, completely. Like, I kind of try and keep things minimal where I am, but like, that would put me on edge immediately. There's so many surfaces to wipe down. Imagine the dusting.
Yeah,
exactly.
So much dusting. Yeah. So he is married. What did you think of Jocelyn's hair? I feel like it is such a statement hairstyle.
I mean, it's a choice, and it's not necessarily an entirely bad one. It kind of like suits what I would imagine Roland's wife's hair might like kind of be.
Yeah. But there, he has a ponytail. So.
Yeah. Exactly. Because you've got to like match it up, like. Perhaps he is punching above his weight, but also I think the hair is... No, it's not on a par. He's got a rat tail. Jeez. It's slightly better.
Yeah. And luckily, we did kind of talk about this a little bit when we were chatting earlier, but it looks like Roland's pillow belly isn't so pillowy this time. It does seem to be improving, which is good. It's not as distracting as it was in episode one.
Yeah, I mean, I didn't even notice it, and I was... At one point, actively looking out for it. So I was like, yeah, okay, this is so much better. I think it was the fact it was so lumpy before.
It was like sideways. It was like kind of square looking. So that really, really attracted attention to it. Yeah. I mean, I will say, as someone who has accidentally watched 5 seasons of the show recently, it does improve. Like, I do think it's not nearly as noticeable as time goes on.
5 seasons, yes.
I have no self-control, and it's such a comfort show, you know?
Okay, that's filling me with hope, but also we need to, like, stage an intervention for you.
I know, I'm horrible. Let's talk about the other new character, who I do not believe has a name this episode, is simply called Beard Guy, and it is the man that Alexis kisses at this tailgate party.
Yeah, when we did the screening of it, Will very funnily just was like, hello, beard guy. And it was like, that was the reaction I think of everyone watching. It was like, geez.
Abs for days, baby.
I know, right? But come out of nowhere. You're like here with a tailgate party, people are doing beer bongs, and all of a sudden there are just abs by the fire.
Mm-hmm.
But I kind of, the whole way in which Alexis was just using everyone there just to kind of get the social media clout, or not even the clout, just more like the jealousy kind of inhibitor for Stavros. Oh, so rough.
The thing I love about Alexis that is made very clear in this episode is just the amount of unearned confidence that she has, generally speaking, where she goes to the tailgate party with Stevie, who is a local, who invited her and says, oh, are you going to be okay? Because I like to fly solo. Stevie's like, I live here.
Yeah, I know, right? I wish I had that much confidence, don't you? Like, the idea of just being able to go somewhere and just be like, I'm going to mingle with people I've never met before.
Never could be me.
Yeah, it's kind of wild. But also, can we get onto the fact that, like, Stevie invited them? Like, the moment when, like, she's talking with David and he's, like, whinging about the cigarette-smelling sheets, and then he kind of like, I like you.
Yeah, or, you're like, funny.
I think you're funny, that's it. And then she's like, okay, I see an opening here. I'm going to invite them to the party. And then, of course, David being David turns it down. But then Alexis kind of sees the opportunity and goes for it. But Stevie's opening up to them, and I can see a friendship brewing.
Yeah. Stevie is a character who, I will say, like, for me on my first watch, was never one of my favorites. But I also tend to like the more, like, wild, out there, like, attention-seeking sort of characters. But, gosh... I really do find myself becoming endeared to Stevie. There's something very relatable about her. She's very much down to earth in a way that the shits could never be, or excuse me, the roses could never be. Also, the shits could never be. But she's just like very, very down to earth. And we see the beginnings of friendship forming here.
It's her dry humor that really gets me. Just the fact that she clearly doesn't like it, just the same as them. They've got that to bond over, but it's two completely opposite perspectives. People that have been thrown into the situation and someone that's like clearly grown up there or has found themselves living there and stuff like that. So they've got something to at least kind of share, but it's going to take a while to, I think, probably understand, or at least for the roses to really understand Stevie as a complex individual and consider the fact that perhaps she has an opinion on this place, and perhaps that she's sane enough to see the truth behind it, which is that it's not that great.
Yeah. I love Johnny going in and trying to ring the bell, and she's just like, it's more just decorative. Like, it's not actually to be used.
It's not even as if they've taken out the ringer like thing inside or something. It literally doesn't depress. So they've like super glued it. Oh, I was just like, perfect.
Yeah. You know, Stevie did that because she's like, I'm not about to have someone ringing a bell in my face every day. Absolutely not.
Exactly. Yeah. Just wait like a minute.
And just like Johnny still not quite understanding where he lives yet when he tries to order eggs Florentine. I don't even know what eggs Florentine is. Like, that's how fancy it is.
Yeah, like, how dense is he that he, like, there is a drip from a floor above and she seems completely not to give a shit. And yet he's there wanting to order also eggs Florentine and a parfait as well.
And a parfait. Like, need the parfait. Yeah. I do think parfaits are kind of a running thing on this show. Not in like any real way, just in like, I feel like I notice people eating them a lot.
Interesting.
Yeah.
My friend suddenly gotten into parfaits. I went over to their house and they were just like, here, have a parfait. And I was like, all right, thanks. This is actually quite nice.
Parfait. Speaking of the drip, I did want to ask you, as fashion is kind of a thing on this show, you know, everyone has their own like signature style in a way. I did want to ask you how you felt about Johnny and Moira's pajamas. I'm gonna share my screen. So if everyone is watching on the YouTube video, you'll be able to see here. So this is, I have up Johnny's pajamas. Now David says he looks like Ebenezer Scrooge because this is a like nightgown type situation.
It's a nightgown. No amount of rebranding is going to make that a night shirt. Come on, Johnny. Who are you kidding?
My best to Bob Cratchit. And I
he's
love...
He's just missing the hat.
Yeah.
Like, he needs a little, like, sleeping hat.
I do love Alexis saying, oh my gosh, that's who I was thinking of.
Yeah. That's another thing that, like, also kind of made me endear to them a little bit more is the fact that, like, David and Alexis clearly have that kind of like sibling kind of like understanding between each other, and it's like, yeah, that's it, because I also want to read him for filth in the same way.
Yeah So this is his ensemble for the evening, and I will say I'm the night shirts, they don't stop here, so that's something to look forward to.
Really?
And then of course we also have to discuss Moira's pajama situation here.
Icon. She was wearing a waistcoat to bed.
Yeah, so it's because you can only really see half of it here. I tried to get the best screenshots I could, but it was kind of difficult because she's like laying down and doing all these other motions. But it's like a matching top and bottom pajama set, which is a normal thing to wear.
Mm-hmm.
And then she adds on like a vest, and then she adds on like a proper like robe coat thing. And she adds the worst part of it all to me is the brooch. Because how are you not going to injure yourself when you're sleeping with a brooch on?
I mean, jewelry, like bed jewelry, seems like a Moira thing, doesn't it? Like, she's like, I must have something of opulence at all times. Like, well, if I get caught in this garment, I must have something to show.
Yes. Yeah, exactly. What if someone wakes me up in the middle of the night, like Johnny did with the dripping? Exactly. Yeah. I love
the dripping as well. There was so much water on that pillow. How did it take Johnny that long to wake up?
A single drip and I would have been awake. Guaranteed. Yeah. So those are their little jammy outfits. I love them. I think all of these characters have such a signature style that like certainly won't be the last time we talk about what they're wearing, but it is something to note because like these pajamas, the thing I love about this show is like, there's a trend, right? They're always going to wear this style of pajamas, which is so out there and different than most people, humans.
Yeah. I mean, to have like formal pajamas like is a stretch, I think, for a lot of people. Like, you get some people that probably embrace them and stuff, and I think it's certain personality types that do, if I'm gonna be completely honest. Some of us just pass out in whatever we're wearing.
Yeah, there is something about a matching pajama set that makes you feel very put together. But I also am a big fan of just like throwing on whatever is comfortable to, because you're sleeping. Like, who are you going to impress?
The kind of person that wears pajamas, like, I get the impression they have no caffeine after midday. They read before bed for a solid hour, something really kind of like intelligent as well, not just some like awful romance novel or kind of just comedy thing and stuff like that. they're kind of like minds expanded by Dostoevsky, and then they put on their nightcap and go to sleep. They don't just doom scroll TikTok for endlessly
like the rest of us plebs do.
Exactly.
So let's talk to you. I want to see if you have any predictions, right? Because we got introduced. So you, I mean, it seems like you're assuming that Stevie and David and Alexis are going to be friendly at the very least.
Yeah, I think there's something there. I think that Stevie has extended an olive branch, so to speak. And I think that in time, I think David's going to warm to her. I can see more of a friendship between Stevie and David being a thing.
Okay.
I can see them like kind of, I don't know what they would necessarily bond over other than just a shared ambivalence for the town. Unless, right. like, I don't know, maybe he starts working at the motel, but it doesn't seem like they're going to need like anyone else to work at the motel. So I don't really know what's going to go on there. I can see Alexis maybe not, I think maybe being friendly with Stevie, but not as quickly, or maybe not as close as David. That's kind of okay. My thoughts on that front at the very least.
All right. Well, speaking of jobs, because you did mention jobs, we did get a feedback question from my husband, Will, who asked, do you think Johnny and Moira's past jobs fit their careers? So Johnny is a former CEO of Rose Video, which is like a Blockbuster type of chain. And Moira was a soap opera actress on Sunrise Bay.
Sunrise Bay. When I heard that that was a thing, I was just so happy because it fits perfectly for her. I thought that Johnny's was maybe not going to be as businessy as it was. Like, I thought perhaps he might have been like a side screen kind of like person, maybe even Moira's agent or manager.
Yeah.
And maybe like that's where all the kind of like money came from, something like that. But also it makes total sense him being like a former executive of Blockbuster, because what's he going to go back to? Like, clearly he's got no money. So, like, the logical thing for a former CEO would be like, oh, go get one of those cushy, like, board positions elsewhere.
Right.
No one wants anyone from Blockbuster in media these days, do they?
Yeah. So it's really tough. Perfect. It's kind of a perfect job for him to have had, because it doesn't easily translate into something modern that he could then be doing to earn money. Same thing with Moira, right? Like, you are a former soap opera actress who seems to at least be out of work at the moment. And you also have no money and have lost a lot of that like prestige that you once had.
Yeah. But like soap opera, surely she's getting residuals. So is that like money going back to the government maybe? Like they still have money that they still have to pay off? Because
right. I mean, I don't soap think we operas, know.
They repeat a lot, don't they?
So I never was a big soap opera fan, but like to my understanding, like because they air every single day, I would feel like once you're off of a show, you might not be getting that much money from residuals, because new episodes air every day. So if you're off of the show and like for three seasons, then when are those episodes really going to be like in syndication re-airing? I don't know.
True. We've got a couple of channels over here, like the really kind of crappy ones that are on satellite TV that are basically airing soaps like 10 years out of date. But they're doing it in sequential order. So you can basically go with a time machine and experience life a decade ago via a soap.
Do you have soaps in the UK? Or are they airing like...
Do we? Yeah.
Oh, they're better than ours, probably.
I'm not sure if they're better. But we've got some really long like running ones. We've got one called Coronation Street, which I want to say is like 60 years old.
Oh my God. I'm wondering how long like Days of Our Lives has been on.
Wait, I just want to see if
that's the one
that's
in my head.
1960. So yeah, like 60 plus years old.
Oh my God, Days of Our Lives, 1965.
That's wild. But yeah,
and still on. Oh no, maybe it ended. Oh, it ended in 2022.
Did it?
Days of Our Lives is over. I guess so.
Another victim of COVID. Jeez.
Wow.
Sad times. But we've got a couple. We've got like EastEnders, which is the one that's set in London, and everyone, like, there's classic like characters that get parodied over here in like British media. There's like Peggy Mitchell, who used to just shout at people, "Get out my pub!" And just they just all slap each other. But we also used to get Australian soaps over here in the UK as well, and we were obsessed with them for a time. Particularly like teenagers when I was like a teenager, is that there was two. There was Home and Away and Neighbours. And you're one of the two. You're either a Home and Away watcher or you're a Neighbours watcher. Oh. Very rarely did you kind of like branch over. I was a Neighbours watcher. And to tell you that I had a flashback to Neighbours watching this episode, because when Moira slaps the living shit out of Roland, it cast my mind back to when Susan slapped Carl Kennedy, and it was the best slap I've ever seen on TV ever, because she really, she almost knocks him out. But Moira went back for like seconds and thirds on that slap.
The three first, and I love how she had to be like convinced to do it, right? Like by everyone at the table, like just do it, just do it. And then she full on just whack, whack, whack.
Oh, yeah.
It's so good. And the best part is because this aired in Canada on like, I think it was a CBC or something. We do get occasional swearing. So like the occasional F-bomb is just incredible on this show. Especially sign the effing papers, just like back, back, back. It's so good. It's so,
so
good.
Impactful. Brilliantly done. And especially like, because I did think that it was going to be her like perhaps shouting, no, I'm not going to slap you. But then she actually does while shouting it as well. I was like,
perfect. Yeah, it's perfect.
Thank you, Moira.
Speaking of Moira at this dinner scene, we have to get on Wig Watch and talk about Moira's wig. So again, if you're watching the YouTube video, I am showing my screen and you can see Moira's wig, but it is like a kind of like a bob, like a strawberry blonde reddish bob with bangs, I guess is how I would describe it.
One of the more normal wigs, I'm assuming. I don't know how many variants we're gonna get of like,
so
whether we're gonna see some recycling of wigs, maybe.
Certainly.
I just kind of wish that this one had a name. Like, I want to know their names as well if she's naming them.
Oh,
I want to know its history.
Yeah, I just love whenever we see Moira with like a new wig on, especially because it's like, how did she pick this one out for like this occasion? I do think we're going to get a fair bit of recycled jewelry. Like, you'll notice this, like, God, I don't even know how her neck is straight because of the weight of all the jewelry on her neck right now. But
you're referring to the small chandelier that she is wearing around her neck.
Pearl chandelier just hanging from her neck. I like this wig. I have favorites in terms of wigs. This isn't one of them, but I do I think it's because this is a more normal one, like you were saying. It's not as out there as some of her wigs will be. Trust, it's gonna get crazy. But let's dive into a little bit more feedback that we got from some listeners. We got a lot of questions surrounding the premise of the show, where they have a town, they own a town, right? And like, how is this even possible? I did find a Reddit thread about like how you own a town. I guess it is a thing that you can do, but like the way it happens on this show isn't how it works at all, right? Mm-hmm. So like, you would basically own all of the like property in said town. And so you would have a certain amount of rights in terms of changing things and all of that. And obviously because of that, you would probably still have a decent amount of money because you're then like leasing the space back. It doesn't seem to be how it works on this show.
Clearly. I mean, have we even determined what jurisdiction we're working under here? Like, are we aware that it's America or Canada? I nearly said Canada there.
Excellent question. Yeah. They really love to be ambiguous about it. Like, all of these people all the actors are like Canadian, beyond Chris Elliott, who plays Roland. Like, all the actors are Canadian. They're very ambiguous about it. I think on purpose, because they want to leave it open to like a broad audience, like knowing that like Americans will be watching it. They do reference New York a fair bit, but. No, it definitely takes place in Canada, but they don't, again, they don't talk about it a ton.
Interesting. It's the whole, not to mention the Simpsons again, but it's the whole Springfield of it all, isn't it? It's
just
like, that makes more sense.
And the thing is, Stuart, let me just tell you, as an American, I could tell you, the way you know it's not an American show is you don't see 50,000 American flags everywhere. Because if this was in America, trust, there'd be one outside of the cafe. There'd be one outside of the motel. Maybe three. Like, just they'd be everywhere.
Just in case you forget where you are. I mean, it is a big country. And, like, perhaps you might think that you've wandered into, like, Mexico or Canada. But, I mean, just as a reminder, here's a flag. Oh, and also, here's a whole day to celebrate it.
Will does want to know, though, what kind of town would you want to buy if you were buying a town?
Ooh.
Like small town, big town, city, rural.
Oh my gosh. I mean, like, city sounds like too much work. Like, yeah. I've seen that. But then also small towns, you get those like small local councils where you get like the proper Karens and they're just like arguing about things. I got really drawn into this weird story about an illegal town meeting that happened that without one of the members, and they would like, it was really politicking on a small scale. And I got so invested in it that I was just there just like scrolling. And I was like, I need to know more. But so small town sounds interesting. I don't know what I would want the industry to be though. Like, because you want something to be there, right? You want it
I think that's the point, right? It has to be like profitable in a way, or like why else would you want it? Why else would you want to own it?
What about you? What do you think?
Gosh, I definitely think it would have to be a small town, because I just don't think I would have the drive to want to deal with that. But it would have to be like a small town with not a lot of people, so people don't care that much, because you don't want to get into like a Pawnee situation from Parks and Rec where like you're having these town meetings that go awry because people are wild. But I don't think I have any interest.
How about, Stardew Valley? I think that would actually be the perfect choice.
Yes, actually, yes. Although, you'd have to deal with Clint, who is a creeper. Clint is the blacksmith. He sucks.
Yeah.
There are some like questionable members of town, but if you own the town, maybe you could kick him out and get a different blacksmith in there.
Would you replace the mayor if you own the town? Or would you keep the mayor around?
No, I would replace him. First of all, keep your pants on, Mayor Lewis. I can't stand him. Yeah. We also had a really interesting question from Ashley, who asked, is Elmdale, which is the neighboring town of Schitt's Creek, the Eagleton to Schitt's Creek's Pawnee? So, and if people aren't Parks and Rec fans, Pawnee is the town that Parks and Rec takes place in, and Eagleton is their neighboring city, which is very like uppity. They have everything that Schitt's Creek, or excuse me, that Pawnee doesn't, and they're very superior about it. So Elmdale is the neighboring city to Schitt's Creek. I think there's not as much like confrontation and everything. It feels like Elmdale is almost like the closest city that has things, right? Like you'd be like, oh, this town has nothing. Oh, well, there's a Walmart in Elmdale. Let's go there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, that makes more sense. I'm going to give a confession here.
You haven't seen Parks and Recreation.
I haven't seen Parks and Rec either.
What's wrong with you? What's wrong? Are you okay? Are you all right?
I missed this completely.
Did you watch The Office?
I watched The Office.
Okay, so you've seen a mockumentary. You've seen a mockumentary style show, just not.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. So The Office was a bit of a difficult one to get into at first, because obviously the first couple of episodes are so kind of like cribbed off of the UK season, and it doesn't translate in the same way. There's like, I think it's worthwhile recognizing that US and UK like sitcoms have two very distinct styles. And I think,
the humor is different.
It's totally different. But like when they started writing for themselves and started like kind of building Michael Scott to be Michael Scott rather than David Brent, it becomes perfect. So yeah, the Office was one that I regret leaving as long as I did. But yeah, Parks and Rec has always been on the list.
I will say Parks and Rec I think people love to talk about The Office, Parks and Rec, and then Schitt's Creek kind of gets thrown into conversation as well occasionally, where it's kind of like the struggle to get started on the show, but then it finds its footing. I honestly think Schitt's Creek finds its footing the quickest of all three. Parks and Rec feels like it's mimicking The Office for the first season, which is like kind of not great, but then by season two it's like you're off like a rocket. And for my money, I like Parks and Rec better, just because there are more good episodes than bad. Like The Office has a lot of bad episodes and bad seasons, and like Parks and Rec never hits those low lows.
Okay, so that's interesting. Okay, that's gonna put it higher on my list, I guess. But I do think that like Schitt's Creek has found its footing almost immediately. Like second episode in, perhaps I'm biased because I have a weekly obligation now to watch it, but like I want to watch it. Like I am there chomping at the bit. Like whenever those credits come up and I see that watch next episode button, I'm just like, I could just click it and not tell anyone. but then it would just be the most dishonest thing ever.
Yeah, I think you're gonna feel that way, especially about the next week's episode as well. Like, I feel like by the third episode for me is where they like really find the comedy. Like, not that it's not very funny already, but they really find the comedy in episode three. So I'm really excited for us to watch that next week. But first, we have to go through our MVPs and LVPs, our Simply the Bests, and our Disgruntled Pelicans. So do you have an MVP for Simply or the Simply the Best person? Who's Simply the Best this episode, Stuart?
Oh, see, it's between two. Can you guess who I'm between?
I feel like Moira is like an obvious, easy pick. I'm also wondering if possibly you would say Stevie because she invites like David and Alexis out.
Ding, ding, ding. Yeah. I between the two of them, Moira for the wig, for the buffoonery, for the shouting, but why am I lying? It's for slapping Roland. But then he also wanted it, so that's kind of bad. I'm going to have to go with Stevie.
All right, so Stevie gets your point.
Stevie for extending the invite, for still kind of like putting up with Alexis and not kind of dealing with it. Like, and just being like, oh, okay, she's just off doing her own thing. Chuck, beer. Great.
Yeah. I'm glad you did that because I'm going to give my point to Moira for smacking the crap out of Roland as he deserved. We get a Moira wig. We get a Moira slap. We get mention of her soap opera days. And on top of that, we get the Moira voice in full form. I just love it. And I love when she goes into the kids' bedrooms and she's just like, rub my back. It's just so
in exchange
overtop.
For half the allowance.
Yeah, it's perfect. All right. Disgruntled Pelican. Gosh, we have this category. And like, I'm just going to say it outright. Like, it's probably going to be Roland every week for a while. Unless he's not on an episode, then he won't get it. But like, he just sucks so much that I don't imagine either one of us can give anyone else the Disgruntled Pelican.
Yeah, I see Roland as almost being like a placeholder of just awfulness until someone probably says something that's going to be like, ah, that was a little over the line, or you disappointed me with that choice maybe, and stuff like that. So yeah, unsurprisingly, Roland. Just fishing the fondue. What is wrong with him?
It's so disturbing. It truly is despicable, disgusting. Like, on top of that, like, the aphrodisiac comment is so disgusting to me. Like, I don't want to know what you and your partner are doing in your spare time. Like, not my business, not my problem. You know, I don't want to know about it.
There's so much that he does that, like, in this, like, you even hear about that's just awful. Like, ignoring Jocelyn, doing cartwheels in thongs. What a monster. She's there trying. But then also the grease stain on Johnny's jacket as well. Like, what an arsehole.
Yeah, he really is the worst. So he's going to get both our Disgruntled Pelican points. What I'm doing currently for the MVPs and LVPs, I think I'm just going to have, like, if you get an MVP, if you're a character who gets an MVP, you get a +1. LVP is a -1. And we'll just tabulate at the end of the season and see kind of where people stand. Roland's not looking so hot right now. Unsurprisingly.
If he is not the, like, overall LVP, I'm going to be really surprised.
Yeah. All right. It is time for us to tier rank our episodes. So season one, episode two, The Drip. As a reminder, we had the pilot, Our Cup Runneth Over, in the Ew, David tier. From top to bottom, it's hot shit, full bouquet. Love that journey for me. Ew, David, and shit out of luck. So do you have any instincts on where you want to put The Drip? Do you think it's better than the pilot, worse than the pilot?
I think it's certainly better than the pilot. I don't think that it was like dramatically better, but I mean, we got an advancement of kind of ongoing plot. Like, I get an idea of what they're going to do in the town now, especially like with Johnny's thing at the end of just like, we're going to fix it up. And like, clearly the intention is fix it up, sell it, regain their kind of like status and stuff like that.
Yeah.
But then also this episode, I think, had a lot more kind of like guttural laughs from me as well. Like, the opening kind of cry from Moira, the Bob Cratchit line just had me howling when it first happened. And then also, just as much as we've been talking bad about it, like the whole Roland thing with the fondue, it was funny despite being disgusting. So
yeah,
I kind of want to place it just one above, maybe, to kind of give us some wiggle room.
Yeah, I'm in the same spot of putting it in Love That Journey for me. Also because this is the episode where Alexis says, love that journey for me. So we get a reference finally. You get to know a reference. And some of
one down, 300 to go.
Yeah, some references, like Simply the Best, like certain ones, it's gonna be so long for you. Now that I'm doing a full rewatch, it's gonna be so long before you know what they mean, but that's okay.
We just start this and I'm just like,
yeah. Yeah, what it is. But so yeah, so currently the drip is going to be above Our Cup Runneth Over. I think this makes sense. It's still plenty of room for growth, plenty of room for like really episodes that really are just like incredible. So again, we're on YouTube. I'm streaming the tier list. If you want to see a visual, find us on YouTube. But that's our update on the tier list. Stuart, do you want to know what next episode's title is? Okay.
I cannot remember.
Yeah, it is. Don't worry, it's his sister.
That better not be about Jocelyn. Don't.
Oh my god.
I mean, that would make sense.
Mm-hmm.
But it better not be, because, oh dear, that'd be awful. Don't
worry, I won't give anything away, but I mean, I'm going to enjoy these speculations.
If not that, then it's got to be Alexis, but I don't know.
Okay. Any other thoughts on our episode, Stuart, before we wrap things up here?
Oh my gosh. I think just some things that I made note of that I don't think we've covered was just Moira inadvertently reading Jocelyn with the whole, what was it? Are you finishing high school, teaching high school? I couldn't hear over your husband's chewing. Just a 2-for-1 there.
Roland's just like still like chewing and licking his fingers, like no one. The thing is like the roses can be so like blatantly borderline rude, I would say, but it's the delivery and the fact that they're right that you're not even mad about it.
Yeah, I mean, Alexis had another stinger when Stevie just being like, I wish I could pull off the whole gluey no makeup look, and then just puts the cherry on top with so French.
I can't with this, so French, like the Alexisisms too, like you'll start to notice a lot of the body language and everything that are like built into these characters in a way that is like, again, so unique from any other show. So oh my gosh, it's just so funny, some of the quotes, some of the things they say, just ridiculous.
Yeah, I mean, I see entirely why this show has been gifted to like beyond belief, is because there's so many good lines from it that are delivered so perfectly.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. All right. So next week we are going to be covering season 1, episode 3. Don't forget to send in feedback if you have any, podcast@talkinshit.com, or find us on social media @talkinshit. Stuart, recently you joined us on Shit 90 Shows Taught Me for a fun little time. Actually, twice you joined us recently, right?
Yeah, I've been invading. COVID,
not again.
Too soon, Jess. Too soon. Don't throw our tea away. God damn it. We had, John, you and Sarah, when we talked about Best in Show with the wonderful Eugene Levy and Catherine O'Hara as well, which was a remarkable film that I'd never seen before, which was hilarious. Mockumentary style of a dog show, if anyone hasn't seen, that I'd highly recommend. The pod itself was a little unhinged.
I mean, most of our podcasts are, so it's unsurprising that it was. Yeah, especially the bonus podcast. We really just lose our minds.
Yeah. And then more recently, joined both for Buffy the Vampire Slayer, where we talked about season 1, episode 10, and the nightmares of Sunnydale. Ookie spooky.
We're on Hellmouth, yeah, guys. Don't forget, Hellmouth.
We're jacked into the Hellmouth.
Jacked in. Yeah. So yeah, go check all of that out at Shit90sPod on Twitter and Instagram. I think that's about everything. We're gonna have to come up with some kind of sign off eventually. I just don't know what it's going to be. Did I say anything last time? I don't remember.
Who knows?
Yeah, who cares? It's fine. All right, everybody. Thank you all for listening. We will talk to you all next time. Our best to Bob Cratchit.